Hello, everybody. My name is Sayed Moen, and this is On's Gotta Talk for Wednesday, 17th of August, 2022. In this week's episode, after last week's launch of the Galaxy Z Flip 4 and Fold 4, we got two brand new folding phones from Lenovo. It's technically Motorola, but still. And Xiaomi, that obviously is the Moto Razr 2022 and the Mix Fold 2. We'll be discussing these newly launched devices. On top of that, Samsung released a new high-end gaming monitor, the Odyssey Arc, offering high-res, high-responsive, and seriously immersive gaming. Plus, this is going to be a fun one at the end, Polestar plans to release the O2 Concept sports car as a production vehicle. We'll touch upon this and much, much more. So without further ado, let's get rolling, shall we? And I just hope you don't mind the AC noise in the background, the AC and the fans running, because it's very hot at this time of the year. So gotta have it on, of course, so I hope you don't mind. But let's just get rolling. Alright, first up, let's talk about the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2. It's Xiaomi's second folding phone, and in a way, their take on the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 4. It's kind of the same sort of form factor, with a nearly identical design and form factor. And if we talk about form factor, the Mix Fold 2 is quite slim at 11.2mm when folded, and only 5.4mm when unfolded. And this is due to the new micro water drop hinge, which has a carbon fiber double wing floating panel featuring a smaller bending radius and a thinner screen and thinner screen modules generally. The hinge has only 87 parts, and get this, uses space stacking, which gives it roughly 20% increase in space utilization, and by extension is balanced on both sides. And speaking of the folding displays, you've got a 6.56-inch AMOLED Samsung E5 120Hz display with a resolution of 2520x1080 with a 21:9 aspect ratio and up to 1000 nits of brightness. It's on the inner display, however, where things get pretty interesting. That's the real, the real selling point of this phone. You got an 8.02-inch Samsung EcoSquare OLED 120Hz display, resolution of 2160x1914, roughly. It replaces, the polarizer with an ultra-thin color filter and black matrix material to increase light transmittance, and that's a thing apparently, by 33%, and is anti-reflective. So, pretty cool technology in a way. Aside from the folding displays, it's got the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 chip, 12GB of LPDDR5 RAM, up to 1TB of UFS 3.1 storage on the back. Okay, on the back, in terms of cameras, you have a 50MP IMX766 main sensor, along with a 13MP ultra-wide-angle sensor, 123-degree field of view, along with an 8MP telephoto sensor. It's basically a triple camera setup at the back, and it kind of looks like a complicated setup, but trust me, it's pretty high-res, and again, it's tuned by Leica. Is it Leica? Yeah. It's tuned by Leica, featuring Summicron lens, and obviously software tuning, software modes to take crispy photos, again, tuned by Leica. They used to partner with Huawei, but now they'll be teaming up with Xiaomi to offer e-tuned and optimized camera. On top of that, if you want to take selfies, there's a 20MP selfie camera on the outer display exclusively, so that's something to take in mind. You get a 4500mAh battery with 67W fast charging. There's no wireless charging. It does come with MIUI Fold 13. It's MIUI 13 with features for foldable, and it's based on Android 12L. The Xiaomi Mix Fold 2 will start at 8,999 RMB, which would be roughly $1,330 for the base spec, 12GB of RAM, and 128GB of storage, I believe. So, again, 256. Most likely. I haven't checked. I haven't double-checked. But basically for the base spec. And here's the kicker. I mean, it's a really good phone. It's a good high-end phone in a way. It's only available in China at the moment. It's only available in mainland China. Though it would be great to see it would be great if they had a global variant of this foldable, because I think it has a lot of potential in a way. So, again, it's a solid foldable nonetheless. On the flip side, okay, I'm sorry, it's kind of funny, but on the flip side, we've got the Motor Razr 2022. For those who remember the original and the current remake, this is the third variant of the Razr foldable. It's more of a specs bump compared to previous models. To start, it's a folding flip phone, obviously. That's got it. We got to get that out of the way. Featuring a 2.7-inch quick view outer display, like previous models, and a 6.7-inch OLED 144Hz FHD Plus inner display. Which is again quite flat from top to bottom. You got a dual camera setup on the outside with 50 megapixel main with optical image stabilization or OIS and a 13 megapixel ultra wide angle camera, 121 degrees field of view included, along with a punch hole notch 32 megapixel front facing camera on the inside. The Razr 2022 comes with the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, kind of a standard chip for high end foldables, obviously under $1,000, over $1,000. Give or take, 3500 mAh battery, 8 or 12 gigabytes of RAM, and up to 512 gigabytes of storage. And this folding flip phone, this Razr, the latest generation, the third gen pretty much, starts from 5,999 RMB, which would be around $890 for the base spec, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, in a way. One interesting difference from previous Razr phones is the bottom lip notch. Now, if you remember the previous foldables, really, from Motorola, you'll probably know that the bottom, they had this kind of thick area. Again, similar to the previous Motor Razr phones, where they used to be the earpiece, pretty much, if I remember correctly. And that was the area sort of to keep the folding display intact. And not to sort of slip it out of control, but now they've ditched it for a completely flat out wide display instead of what we had previously, so that should be a welcome for some users. The display has a pear shape when folded and has an improved notch according to Motorola. Like the other foldable, the Razr 2022 is also China only at the moment, which kind of sucks, frankly. It would be great to see these kind of phones available outside of mainland China, but that's not possible, of course. But it's more likely that we'll get the Razr will get a global release eventually. So again, that's something to keep in mind. But we've gotten new foldables from Samsung, Xiaomi, and Motorola. We're not done. According to digital chat station, Vivo is planning to launch its newest foldable next month, called the X Fold S. Now, it's going to be the new version of the X Fold, the new generation of the Vivo X Fold, if you remember that. And apparently, which is going to have a similar form factor to the Z Fold 4. It's next month pretty much, so that's interesting, nonetheless. Okay, this came into this, let's just get this out of the way. Poco has dropped the Poco M4 5G. Now, if you remember, there was the M4 original, but that was released in India. Now we have the global variant. This is the global variant in general. We're just going to go through the specs, really. It's got a 6.58-inch 90Hz LCD FHD Plus display with the MediaTek Dimensity 700 chip, 5,000 mAh battery with 18-watt fast charging. As in the name, of course, it has 5G support for the global market. Obviously, it would support mid-band and low-band 5G frequencies, so that's something to take in mind. The cameras are a bit different from the Indian variant of the Poco M4. You just have a 13-megapixel main and 2-megapixel depth on the back, along with a 5-megapixel selfie shooter on the front, which is going to be a punch hole notch in a way, like most phones. It'll be available globally, thankfully, unlike other phones, and prices will start from 219 euros for the base spec, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, and 249 euros for the 6 gigabytes of RAM and 120 gigabytes of storage, roughly. So, assuming, for example, that a dollar is a euro, roughly, this would be about 220 bucks for the base spec and 250 bucks, roughly, for the top of the line tier. So if you're in the market for a decent mid-range phone, you might want to look at the Poco M4 5G. Moving on, speaking of new and upcoming phones, the forthcoming Pixel 7 and 7 Pro has apparently gotten FCC certification, and that's according to 9to5 Google. We might be getting four variants of the Pixel 7 series. There will be a sub-6 and millimeter wave 5G variants of both the 7 and 7 Pro. And most likely, the millimeter wave 5G variants, as always, might be for the US market because, again, the Pixels work on Verizon and obviously T-Mobile and AT&T. And of course, they would offer, and those networks have millimeter wave, so also it would work on Ryzen. So technically, you could say for Ryzen customers. Oh well. Interestingly, the Pixel 7 Pro, both the millimeter wave and sub-6 5G specs, might only come with ultra wideband capability. This basically, the Pro will come with UWB, and what it does is you can essentially find objects, you can track them in the presence from your phone, and it's pretty convenient, including AirTags potentially. So this is an interesting clue in a way. We do know the design of the Pixel 7 series, as Google showed it off at I/O a few months back, and that it will be powered by the second gen Tensor chip and feature the latest version of Android, which funnily enough is already available since yesterday. They dropped the latest version of Android. If you have a Pixel, you can download it, of course, and give it a shot. And there'll probably be another update after if there's some bugs that need to be fixed. But yeah, I mean, can't wait for the Pixel 7 in a way. AMD will be hosting a launch event on August 29th for the new Ryzen 7000 desktop processors, along with updates on Zen 4 and AM5. Pretty exciting. Again, nothing new, but again, exciting nonetheless. Moving on. Humongous. Ginormous. Probably one of the many, many words to describe this high-end gaming monitor that's just dropped probably yesterday or day before yesterday. Samsung has launched this incredibly curved gaming monitor. It's incredible in a way. It's a curved gaming monitor called the Odyssey Arc. The Odyssey Arc is a $3,500 55-inch, 1000R curve, 165Hz, 4K gaming monitor. Try saying that in a single sentence without losing track. One can say it's a beast, literally. So that's pretty cool. Now, Samsung has been at it with offering curved premium gaming monitors of the Odyssey line for the past couple of years. If you remember the Odyssey G7, G3, like extremely curved, and the back looks like something out of the Aliens movie, so that's pretty interesting. Out of a horror movie, from the looks of it, with the weird globe at the orb at the back, which is where the monitor arm is. But this model is quite literally on another level. It naturally offers an immersive gaming experience and viewing experience, whether you're doing a hot lap in Forza or slaughtering zombies in Call of Duty. You're deep in the game with the 1000R curvature, and for productivity freaks, the size and curves means that it does the job of two or three monitors with one. So that's pretty cool in a way. Aside from the curves, it features a 55-inch 4K Quantum Mini LED display with a 1,000,000:1 contrast ratio, 165Hz refresh rate, 1 millisecond GDD response time with AMD FreeSync Premium Pro. It's got a processor chip, a display chip that uses 20 neural networks to upscale content to 4K resolution right off the bat. So that's pretty cool in a way. The display has, on the other hand, matte coating to block glare and reflections. Interestingly, more than the high quality and high res display lies a ton of interesting features. Firstly, the monitor comes with Samsung's own gaming hub, offering instant access to popular game streaming apps like Xbox Game Pass, Ultimate, GeForce Now, Stadia, and etc. Again, if supported. Along with that, the Flex Move screen, which is a mode pretty much, allows you to adjust your screen size from full length, for example, all the way down to 27 inches, since you can shrink the input that you have, so you're playing a particular game, you can shrink it all the way down to 27 inches to 21:9, and this is particularly useful for playing older games, or if you find the 55-inch size really overwhelming. I know it's humongous, but you get where I'm coming from. Anyways, along with that, like most high-end monitors in its segment, you can run up to four screens at a time, so you can pip in four different sources at once, or up to three once pipped vertically in what's called cockpit mode. Game Bar gives you access to settings along showing you which modes you're on and obviously what inputs you're on, and you know whether you have high refresh rate, whether you have G-Sync, you have AMD's version of G-Sync on. I think it's V-Sync probably. It shows you what's supported in your input, so that's pretty cool. What resolution's at, so that's pretty cool in a way. Again, along with that, you're able to switch modes and all. Again, quite useful for a sub $3,000 monitor. As if the size isn't shocking enough, see what I did there, It would be difficult to reach the back of the monitor to access the control panel or really connect your devices. Rest assured, the Odyssey Arc comes with Samsung's One Connect box, letting you connect all your gear into one neat box, along with the Arc Dial, which is a unique little controller. In lieu of the typical buttons you get at the back, so you wouldn't have to go behind and sort of access the control panel. And it lets you basically switch inputs, modes, open up settings, and much, much more. And it's a pretty cool, neat little controller for a big, big monitor. And also, the cockpit mode is pretty cool because this monitor lets you do screencasting, so you can essentially do screen mirroring. So you can literally watch TikTok and YouTube shorts all day long. I was seeing MKBHD's video on it. It was pretty interesting because it was cool. It was kind of crazy how he's using it to watch short form videos. Like, I would not recommend it for it, of course. I mean, it'd be a total waste of money. There are better monitors on the market for this work, okay? You can literally get a full on smart TV for the same size. It's cheaper to get a smart TV if all you want to do is watch TikTok and YouTube and Netflix and Disney Plus and God knows what. Not this puppy. It's for high res gaming, you know, for full high refresh rate, smooth lag free gaming. Anyways, overall, the monitor is currently available for pre-orders at the moment, and it's priced at $3,500 in the US. For most folks who want a monitor for productivity or binge watching, it's a complete overkill, as I said earlier. Unless you have thousands of dollars burning a hole in your wallet, and inflation is really biting us all at the moment, right? So if you want to spend your money useless, you can get this monitor. But on the other hand, really, if you are that kind of person who wants something for productivity or content consumption, there's a Samsung Smart Monitor for those needs as well. So highly would suggest you check it out if you have the time. Instead of this big, massive Odyssey Arc monitor, you can check out their regular Smart Monitor, which, again, has, like, built-in Samsung Smart TV built-in. It's got HDMI input. It's got all, again, it's quite convenient in design for productivity and casual users. But yeah, this is ideally made for hardcore gamers who are willing to fork out huge sums of money for fast and fancy monitors in a way, but still cool stuff. You probably would agree with the cool stuff nonetheless. And finally, a long time back, Polestar showed off the O2 sports car concept, an idea of a sports car of the future that's all electric, that's fast, and really is inspired by aerospace elements, let's just say that, according to the page, according to them, pretty much. And it was a stunner, to say the least. And we talked about it on the podcast several months ago. It was a pretty cool concept, kind of like the Precept, and I was inspired by the Polestar 5. And now, the all-electric car brand, and basically the Volvo spinoff, is planning a production version of this cool-looking concept car, a hardtop convertible roadster called the Polestar 6. According to its CEO, and quote, "With the overwhelming consumer and press response, we took the decision to put the stunning roadster into production, and I'm so excited to make it a reality. Polestar 6 is a perfect combination of powerful electrical performance and the thrill of fresh air with the top down." Now, you can see the excitement in his words, of course. It'll be built on its bespoke bonded aluminium platform and use the same EV architecture as the Polestar 5 sedan. It's an 800-volt ARC platform, offering up to 884 horsepower of performance, 0 to 62 miles per hour in just 3.2 seconds, and a top speed of 155 miles per hour, or roughly 250 kilometers per hour max speed. So that's pretty cool in a way. It's basically supposed to, it's designed to essentially be a relaxing touring car, and also, like, again, as a convertible, which is interesting in a way, all with a dual motor powertrain. The car will go on sale in 2026 after, obviously, the launch of the Polestar 3, 4, and 5. For those who have been out of the loop, the Polestar 3 and 4 are going to be like premium crossover SUVs in a way, and the 5 essentially will be like a sedan, and it's pretty snappy. If you've watched the Goodwood Festival Speed, you will know that the Polestar 5 did like a hot lap around the Goodwood Estate, and that sucker's quick, according to some people. So, I mean, I'm quite excited. On top of that, there'll be an LA Concept Limited Edition, which features the sky blue exterior, light feather interiors, and 21-inch wheels, just like the original concept which inspired the Polestar 6. If you're interested, you can go over to the website right now and reserve a spot. So when the car comes out, you can, again, pre-order and get your Polestar 6. So that's pretty cool. The link will be in the show notes, so you do check it out afterwards. Overall, like most, if not all, Polestar cars, it's a really cool EV and a cool sports car potentially, given also that we're kind of several years away from like really good all-electric sports cars. And again, speaking of that, breath of fresh air in a market full of crossovers and pickup trucks. Is it me or that I feel like the EV market's full of those kind of cars because a lot of people are going to move to electric? I mean, there is a fair argument of having like pickups and SUVs and all go electric first, and like trucks and all, because they're the heavier polluting vehicles, so the sooner they switch to something sustainable, they'll be, again, to be to the benefit of everybody. But yeah, it was great to see Polestar actually turn one of their concepts really into a production vehicle. Now, they didn't mention battery or range. I mean, on the page, if you go to Polestar's website, and again, the link in the show notes, it says they're aiming for a 600 kilometer plus WLTP range. But I'm going to just assume that the battery tech or the efficiency, or both really in general, will improve dramatically by the time the car goes into production for such style and type of vehicles to be possible. This car looks and feels fast, and this sucker's quick, I'll tell you. I mean, I haven't tried it, so I can't tell you how it looks or feels. But yeah, can't wait to take this car for a spin when it drops in a few years' time. So again, I tell you, this is a pretty cool sports car. I mean, and again, can't wait to take this for a spin when it actually does launch down the road. Alrighty, this leads us to the end of this week's episode. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sade_Maone99. Follow me there if you can. Share this to your friends and family. As obviously you can, you know, forward it as far as you can on WhatsApp. It definitely will help. Subscribe wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss another episode. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That'll be the best way to sort of boost the show's engagement in a way on those platforms. And yeah, till next week, this is your boy Maone signing out. Where we are, what are we up to? I hope you have a wonderful day. And yeah, thank you for listening. And yeah, I'll see you soon. Or see you next week. Ciao.